the concept for Gaza Corner was born following the May 31st, 2010 deadly attack on the Mavi Marmara vessel, which was part of the Freedom Flotilla packed with humanitarian aid that was trying to break Israel's ongoing naval blockade of Gaza. In international waters, Israeli commandos seized the Mavi Marmara and 10 activists died. 9 were killed then. 1 was in a coma and died 4 years later. 9 Turkish nationals and 1 Turkish American. That incident was a tipping point of sorts for me. And I started Gaza Corner as an act of conscience to make you more aware of the suffering of the Palestinian people, and especially in Gaza. And then the Arab Spring happened, and Gaza Corner evolved. And it's usually about something happening in the Middle East, especially something that the popular media ignores or has a perspective which I think is either wrong or misinformed, or just something that I think I need to bring out a different perspective. Following the attack on the Mavi Marmara, the very next tangent show, I conceived Gaza Corner, and every Saturday night thereafter, there has been a Gaza Corner segment. This past week, a new chapter was written in Turkish-Israeli relations. And depending which headline you read, you'd probably wonder what was really achieved. For example, Al Jazeera had the headline, Turkish Prime Minister Ben Ali Yildirim was quoted as saying in the headline, Gaza siege largely lifted. RT.com, the Russian news service, says, Turkey says Gaza sea blockade largely lifted via reconciliation deal. So those were two very consistent headlines. Press TV, the Iranian news network, said Gaza siege to continue after Turkey deal. And Middle East Eye, which is a good source for Middle Eastern news, said naval blockade of Gaza to continue after Israel-Turkey reconciliation. So those two headlines at odds with the Al Jazeera and the RT.com headline. Reuters had the safest headline. It said Israel-Turkey restore ties and deal spurred by energy prospects. That headline is definitely true. During the June 30th Democracy Now! Program, Amy Goodman interviewed Koray Kaliskan, who is an associate professor of political science at the Bogazeci University in Istanbul, Turkey. Quoting Koray, on the issue of rapprochement between Israel and Turkey, I think it is very sad that Turkey stepped back from its principles, its foreign policy principles. They said that they were against the blockade, the embargo of Palestinians, and they legitimized the blockade itself by agreeing to give the aid to Israel, unquote. I wanted personally to get a little more clarity and detail from Koray, so I emailed him, and we had an email exchange. Essentially, he's saying that as long as Israel is the Gaza gatekeeper for humanitarian aid, Gazans are still under siege, and they still are subject to a complete naval blockade, the longest in the human history, and also the occupation. This blockade has been in place since 2007. The restoring of full diplomatic relations and the prospect of a new lucrative natural gas deal between Turkey and Israel does nothing to change the fact that Gazans are under siege, there's a naval blockade, and both the West Bank and Gaza are still under occupation. Lewis Fishman, an associate professor at Brooklyn College, wrote in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, in an opinion piece, quote, Turkey's acceptance of Israeli monitoring of these goods and services is an achievement for Israel, since it essentially is de facto recognition of the Gaza blockade itself, unquote. The agreement, by the way, also grants the Israeli Defense Force soldiers who participated in the Mavi Marmara, the attack, immunity from criminal charges in Turkish courts. And the new agreement was reached because of a mutual desire to exploit natural gas reserves worth hundreds of billions with a B of hundreds of billions of dollars under the Eastern Mediterranean. Quoting from Reuters, restoring relations with Ankara is a linchpin in Israel's strategy to unlock its natural gas wealth. It is looking for export markets and is exploring a pipeline to Turkey as one option, both for consumers there and as a connection to Europe. Netanyahu said Turkey would also now not act to prevent Israeli participation in international forums of which it is a member, notably including NATO. Let me give you a quick little backgrounder. After Hamas came to power in an internationally monitored election, considered free and fair, and took control of Gaza in June 2007, Israel, together with the international community, including the United States, adopted a draconian policy of restricting imports into Gaza and banning all exports in the hope of removing Hamas from power. Of course, 9 years later and three wars later, it has not removed Hamas. And the Gazans are besieged, close to 2 million people crammed into a very small area, the sixth densest population on earth. And according to the United Nations, Gaza will be uninhabitable by 2020. That is 4 years from now, 3.5 years from now, if conditions, current conditions persist. PLO executive committee member, the esteemed Dr. Hanan Ashrari said, quote, in many ways, they, meaning Turkey and Israel, undermine the reunification of Palestine because they treated Gaza as though it was under Israeli sovereignty, as though it was separate from the rest of Palestine, and they totally ignored the PLO, she said, unquote. By undermining the PLO, quoting her again, and dealing directly with Israel, that gives Israel more control and say over Gaza. They didn't get the siege lifted, which is the real issue. I think Israel got a lot out of this, frankly speaking, Dr. Hanan Ashrari. At a recent closed briefing on Gaza by the head of Israeli military intelligence, Major General Herzl Chalevi reportedly said, according to an Al Jazeera article, quote, if there won't be improvement in Gaza, Israel will be the first to feel it when things explode, unquote. Halevi explained a critical difference between Hamas's military capabilities, which continue to increase, and its intentions. Hamas, he said, does not want another round of hostilities with Israel and is working to prevent rocket fire into Israel. Gaza's reconstruction, he told the Knesset, the equivalent of our Congress, is the best way. Gaza's reconstruction is the best way to prevent another war. This according to the head of Israeli military intelligence. The unemployment rate among Gazans is an astounding 60% after almost a decade of blockade and siege. Senior Hamas official Ahmed Youssef said, quote, Turkey might in the near future start building an industrial zone to help the Palestinians building their economy, unquote. Turkey, as of this agreement and restoring diplomatic relations, can now send goods to the Gaza Strip, but only through the Israeli port in Ashdod. And they'll also have development projects reportedly in Gaza, including building a 200-bed hospital, a power station, which, of course, Israel destroyed in the most recent war, also a housing project and a desalination project or plant in Gaza. Keep in mind that 96% of the water in Gaza is either polluted or salinated, meaning that virtually all the water in Gaza is undrinkable. For its part, Israel not only apologized for the Mavi Marmara attack, but committed itself to finally conceding this one point that Turkey insisted on, and that was paying some $20 million in compensation to the victims' families. And Turkey agreed not to take legal action against the IDF soldiers involved in the incident. Turkey was traditionally Israel's most reliable ally in the Muslim world, but that all changed after the Mavi Marmara attack in 2010. Military, security, economic, political relations all went into a deep freeze. Turkey imposed an unprecedented military sanctions on Israel after they had had quite a cozy relationship militarily in terms of intelligence and security. Erdogan, President Erdogan of Turkey, maintained that Turkey would never renormalize relations with Israel until the Gaza blockade was lifted. This was repeated over and over and over, and apparently was the reason why this agreement took many years to finally take place when Turkey finally caved in. Erdogan is a stout defender of the Palestinian cause, that's true, and he consistently, especially with his over-the-top rhetoric, would accuse Israel, for example, in July 2014, after the war on Gaza, where civilians were killed, he said that Israel was, quote, keeping Hitler's spirit alive, unquote, over its offensive in the Gaza Strip that summer. So what changed for this reconciliation to occur? You may recall Turkey shot down a Russian plane near the Turkish border with Syria. That was just several months ago. Erdogan was defiant at the time. Russia and Turkey had been close allies, but their relationship reached a new low point as a consequence of the plane being shot down and a pilot being killed. Russia shut down tourism to Turkey as well as its gas trade with Turkey. And this past week, finally, Erdogan swallowed hard, I imagine, and apologized for downing the plane. And now he and Putin are buddies again, despite being on opposite sides of the Syrian war. That's a topic for another day. Erdogan realized he had to diversify Turkey's gas trade and not overly rely on Russia for gas. So he eyed Israel, which has been salivating at the thought of sending gas to Europe via a pipeline to Turkey, which is what they hope to do. Meanwhile, in conclusion, let me remind you that the Istanbul-based Foundation for Human Rights and Freedoms and Humanitarian Relief, the acronym is IHH, which organized the 2010 flotilla that was attacked by Israel in international waters, they issued a statement condemning the deal. Quote, the issue is not entry of humanitarian relief supplies into Gaza, but making sure that Gaza has its freedom of movement and transactions so that it does not have to rely on external aid. Palestine is deprived of this freedom and doomed to rely on external aid only while international law grants it to every land and government in the world, but not Gaza. It is simply unacceptable. The aid organization based in Turkey states that it will thus continue efforts on, quote, all fronts, including legal and physical arenas for the removal of the illegal and unjustifiable blockade on Gaza, while continuing to litigate cases on behalf of the international victims of the Mavi Marmara attack from 37 different countries. Quote, Israel's arrogant attitude, as if to say, I kill people and pay in cash whatever is the cost, is unacceptable. Mavi Marmara stood as a hope in the Islamic world and for the oppressed people of the world. It is our duty to keep this hope, which stands for the common consciousness of humanity, alive.